I'm very excited. Dear friend, Keith Johnson's coming. He's going to speak to us today. He's the director for Shiloh Youth Ranch, and I'm so excited to have him come. They do such a great work, which this congregation is not ignorant of. You've been a long time. A lot of you have been over there, been working there, and it's be a little bit of a reunion for some of you to hear from Keith, and that's great. But for many of us, it'll be first time. And so I hope you enjoy it. I know you will. He's an awesome guy, man of God, and doing great work for the Lord. And so I'm very excited to hear from you, bro. God bless.
Thank you. Yeah. At least there's not much pressure to do good, I guess. As a dad with some younger kids, I appreciated the 6'7". Actually carved into our pumpkin for Halloween on our front doorstep, 6'7". It was awesome hearing all the kids say that. So, like Bert said, my name is Keith, director for Shiloh, and it's great to be here with you this morning. Before I begin, I just want to encourage you that we serve a living God. We serve an active God. We serve a God who has not forgotten about us and has not forgotten about people in your life that you've been praying for to come back to Christ, to come to Christ, to find their way. And so just know that God is with you. He hears your prayers, and he cares. And that's so reassuring. So we're going to get started. So Shiloh, 25 years is happening this year. This is our 25th anniversary for Shiloh. Yes, it is fantastic. Many have been involved before, participated before, and so just thank you so much for that. I started when I was 16 years old with Doreen. Doreen was out there, and I'm 27 now, and Doreen is 48. And so I've just had a real passion and heart for Shiloh, the ministry of Shiloh, and just excited to share really what God is doing, because that's what it's about. It's about what God is doing through kids and teens' lives in our province. So this is Pastor Raymond Reeb, and Pastor Raymond Reeb was walking downtown Edmonton in the mid-90s, which is a long time ago now, came across a playground with some kids playing and noticed no adult supervision, noticed drugs on the ground, needles on the ground. And he just wondered and asked God, what can I do to help? And it was in that moment that he took that back, that experience, to his church, Southside Pentecostal Assembly, and they began to pray into what an opportunity could look like for kids and youth to be able to get out of their environment, to get out of their situation, and have a place of safety and hope. And that's where Shiloh started that summer. 2000 was the first summer for Shiloh. You can go to the next slide. And so Shiloh's aim is to engage vulnerable children and youth with life-changing experiences and mentorship that leads them to grow in community and relationship with Jesus. We do that through unconditional love. We do that through a passion for Jesus. We do that through building relationships and engaging experiences. And really, it is all about Jesus. Connecting kids to the life transformation truth of who Jesus Christ is. You go to the next slide. So kids and the youth that come to Shiloh, this is what differentiates Shiloh on our summer camp side from a lot of traditional summer camps. Is predominantly all of our kids come from lower-income families and then from kids living in group homes or foster care. So a lot of kids that we get have had a lot of challenges, experienced a lot of abuse, abandonment, lack of parents, lack of positive role models and influences. And we get to connect with them and speak life and truth over their lives in the summertime at Shiloh. And so if you look at, I sent all my kids to camp this summer. I got 3. 8, 10, and 11. Camp for our family was $1,800 to send all 3 to camp. At Shiloh, we charge $75. And even then, we get parents, single parents, have 2, 3, 4, 5 kids. And we just say, pay what you can. Financial limitations are never a reason someone cannot attend camp. And that is why it is so awesome to have partners that come alongside to ensure that that happens. We'll go to the next slide. So our summer camps, you can see some pictures there. We have horseback riding, we have swimming, archery, sports camps, mountain bike, adventure camps, large group games. We offer transportation, free transportation from Edmonton, Southside, and the west side of the city. And last summer, which is like a few months ago only, 404 kids and youth came to camp in the summer over 7 weeks of camp. And so out of those 404, 40% came for the first time. And so I can say confidently that probably 40% heard the gospel for the very first time this summer. Almost 200 kids for the first time. That's exciting. I don't know about you, but that's exciting because we serve a living God who doesn't view the kids and youth that we have in our situation and what they've grown up with as the end result of their life. And he doesn't see, based on what you've been through or experiences you've had, as the end result of your circumstance or what's happened to you. We've got kids that have come out to Shiloh that have been abused, and God restores them. Kids that come out with absolutely no hope, and God brings hope and peace to their life. You can go to the next slide. So where is the camp? If you want to come out in the summer, I've got two options for you to come out. The long route or the scenic, or the short route or the scenic route. The short route is 1 hour and 9 minutes. The scenic route is 1 hour and 11 minutes. So it's not that far. We're always looking for volunteers over the course of the summertime. This past year, we had about 80 different volunteers come out over the summertime to help out in different capacities and areas, from helping with the horses, to helping in the kitchen, to working with the kids in the cabins, to coming and praying, to coming with worship and speaking. And so there's all these different opportunities. If you've never been out there, our kids don't sleep in like traditional cabins. They sleep in chuck wagons. And so if you've never seen them, you should come out. You can go to the next slide. So the other program we run besides our summer camp, which happens in July and August, is called our Connections Program. And this is our program that runs from October until May. It's our program that runs during the school year. With so many kids, around 95% of those coming every summer having no church or faith background, we recognize the need to ensure that we're providing opportunities for ongoing connection with these kids. And so right now we have two after-school weekly drop-ins. On Monday, as in tomorrow, we're starting our third after-school drop-in. And so it's just an opportunity for us to connect with kids. We have 5 interns that work with us. Last year during the school year, we had 1,179 check-ins for our programs. And this year we're looking to have around 1,400 kids come through our programs. Which is great, but it's also we're seeing kids get plugged into local churches and youth groups. Which is amazing, because that is where the ongoing growth, development, mentorship, discipleship happens, where we're going to see kids grow in their faith and 20, 30, 40 years later still following Jesus and leading their families in that way. And we're seeing generations changed because of what God is doing. And so we run our summer camps July and August, and then our follow-up program October to May. And so we're able to connect with kids during the entire year and continue to build relationship. You can go to the next slide. We got a movie, a video. So this is a story, one of our students. Her name's Katie, and hope you enjoy her story and change life of transformation that's taken place in her life.
My name is Katie. I'm 17, and I've been coming to Shiloh for a little over 10 years. I come from a broken home where it's just my mom and my two sisters. We had recently moved to Edmonton for medical treatment for my older sister. She has special needs. My mom found Shiloh through a Facebook group. It was just an escape for us, having to deal with hardships and trauma all the time at home. I kept coming to Shiloh because I felt like Shiloh is more than just like a summer camp for me. Shiloh is a home, and I know I feel most safe at Shiloh. I always wished when I was little that Shiloh never ended because I felt like there were people that loved me and cared for me, and they actually wanted to get to know me. I went through a lot of abuse when I was younger, especially with my mom's boyfriends. Shiloh was just an escape from all of that. Going through that when I was very young, it was hard to form connections to people because I always thought that they would backstab me, that they didn't love me, and that why am I good enough? Why did they choose me? Like, there must be some bad intent behind that. Growing up with that, I've struggled with my mental health, serious depression, like to the point where I couldn't get out of bed. Connections is a follow-up after Shiloh in the school year. There's fun activities, and I can really just like be myself and be a kid again. Throughout my Shiloh years, I've had many mentors who have all shown great interest in me and have helped me a lot, specifically Emma. She understands where I come from, and she holds no judgment to me. To go out one-on-one with a mentor and go play mini golf, just go to Starbucks and read a Bible verse and do a devo on that. I feel like I was important, that this person took time out of their day, took time out of their school year and everything to come see me because they saw something in me, even though I couldn't see that in me. Connections is important to me because it provides me with an escape from all the loud noise that's going on at home. When I was growing up, I didn't grow up Christian. I wasn't religious at all until I started coming to Shiloh. And at first, I wasn't very into God. I was just like, oh yeah, they're talking about this man. He loves me. He forgives me for everything. I never really understood that until I like had the mentorship program and like I got connected to that. Going to Celebration Church, it's provided me with a community of people who care for me and are there for the same purpose. Even if like I couldn't go to church or anything because I wasn't doing well mentally, I could go out here and go to campfire and worship God and take the time, because Shiloh is a very spiritual place and it has definitely helped with my relationship with God. I love coming back to Shiloh and working here because it's heartwarming to see those kids look behind that barrier they've put up and that other people in their lives have put up and just work through that and tell them, hey, there's a man that loves you and he's always going to be with you, and that Shiloh doesn't end at the camp. There's connections, and I get to make relationships with these kids and tell them different from what they've been told before, even if home is hard, that Shiloh isn't. To the people who have given to Shiloh or are considering giving to Shiloh, I want to be walking proof that it really does matter and that your contributions do matter. It has changed my life for the better, and there's so many kids here that have a home, have a family here, and we want to continue that in the future.
So know that what you're doing is making a difference. It's making a difference in the kingdom. It's making a difference in our province. As So I think as much as we don't sometimes recognize the challenges that a lot of people face, we can get caught up in what we're doing in our life, which is hectic and busy. But the reality is there are so many people that may live next door, down the street, that need us to come alongside and share the hope of who Jesus is. Not in a weird way, though. Don't be weird about it. But it's true. You can go to the next slide. So like I mentioned before, for summer camp, it's $75 for the week. Our follow-up program, our connections program, is free of charge. We have food at every one of those events. We have mentorship. We try to get kids plugged into local churches, youth groups, anywhere where there's positive influence. I don't know if you can think of your life growing up. Maybe you can think of 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even more people that spoke into you and had a significant influence on the person that you are today. Maybe it was your parents, grandparents, maybe your friend's parents, somebody, maybe you can name a few. Reality is for a lot of the kids that come through our program, they'd have a hard time naming one person. And so that's where we can come alongside as a community. Whether you're hands-on or you're praying for us, to be that one person for these kids. You can go to the next slide. On Sunday, November 30th, in the evening from 7 till 8:30, we're doing a worship and celebration night as part of our 25th anniversary at Eaglemont in Beaumont. And so if you want to come to that, here's some more stories. We're going to have some video. We're going to have a panel of people that have come through the program and just kind of celebrate what God's done. And so if you're interested in that, it's going to be also on our website with information for that. And so we'd love to see you come out to that. You can go to the next slide. You know, at our, we did a 25th anniversary, we did a fundraising banquet in March. And the church donated a guitar to that event. And that guitar raised $4,000 for Shiloh. So somebody bought it in the live auction and then donated it back. Another person bought it, donated it back. And so it went three times and people kept donating it back. And yeah, $4,000. So thank you for that. And the person that ended up winning it wants to donate it back for next year and sign it and play a song. And then the next person. And so it may become a tradition for our banquet, and so thanks for that. William Wilberforce was a British politician best known for leading a movement to abolish the slave trade in the British Empire. He was a deeply religious man who campaigned tirelessly against slavery. After a decade of work in 1807, the Slave Trade Act was born, which banned transatlantic slave trade. He also played a key role in the eventual end of slavery itself in the British Empire in 1833, just days before his death. William and Catherine Booth are best known for the founders of the Salvation Army, a Christian organization dedicated to helping the poor and marginalized. William was a passionate teacher who believed in bringing the message of salvation to the streets, while Catherine was a strong advocate for social justice and women's rights. Together, they developed a movement that combines spiritual outreach with practical aid like food, shelter, and rehabilitation. Their work began in London in the 1860s and quickly spread worldwide, transforming people's lives through both faith and service. Martin Luther King was a prominent American rights leader known for his nonviolent activism against racial segregation and injustice. He played a key role in events like the Montgomery bus boycott and the 1963 March on Washington, where he delivered the famous I Have a Dream speech. King advocated for equality through peaceful protest, inspired by his Christian values. and his leadership helped bring about important civil rights legislation, including the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. He was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964 for his efforts and was eventually assassinated on April 4th, 1968. Raymond Reeb was walking downtown Edmonton in the late 1990s and came across a playground, which I talked about, unsupervised kids. He saw drugs and needles and prostitution around. And his heart was moved to create a safe space for kids where they could get away from their environment and be accepted and loved and introduced to the gospel. And through that encounter and much prayer, Shiloh was birthed. See, what these individuals and so many others have in common is that they've recognized a need and were compelled by love, their love for God, to action. They weren't content to sit on the sidelines while there was immediate need surrounding them. It wasn't about ego, status, or fame. It was about following the teachings of Jesus. So this morning, we're going to be looking at some teachings of Jesus that should force us to consider how we live, how we grow, and how others view us. Matthew chapter 5 is the start of what is considered one of the greatest portions of teaching in Scripture. From chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7, we have what is called the Sermon on the Mount, a collection of teachings that is both a moral and ethical call to followers of Christ. See, Jesus' following was steadily growing because of his teaching on the kingdom of God, the healings that had followed him, and his care and compassion for so many. And so one such time, it says in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5, that when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain and he sat down and he began to teach. He begins his sermon which is what is called the Beatitudes. Now, our world views this idea of being blessed. You know, we say, oh, this person is blessed, maybe because they're rich. Or this person is blessed because, oh, they have a great place in society, or they're blessed. And so it must mean that they are, like, held in regard to even God himself. But Jesus comes with quite a different definition. You know, the Christian walk cannot take on this idea of being blessed like society would say it is. It has to be gauged by a different set of standards. God's kingdom is designed to remove the barriers from the oppressed, from the poor, and those that are far from God to receive the gospel. It is designed to invite people into relationship with Christ. And it's also about being clear on what God expects his followers' attitude and behavior to be like. So after Jesus had kind of set the stage, he moves to where we're going to spend a few minutes this morning, and that's in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go in verses 13 to 16. And this is what it says in verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." God, as we spend a couple minutes in your word this morning, I just pray that it would speak to us, illuminate our minds, and that, God, above all, it would transform us, as your word does, into individuals who continue to follow you, to grow with you, and are challenged by what you say to make a difference in the world around us. So in these verses, God uses two forms of imagery. He says salt and light. And he says this to tell his followers that we matter. You know, who we are and how we live actually matters. It actually makes a difference in the world. So you remember those names at the beginning, how we live matters. Those people did actions and saw needs around them that they were compelled to make a difference, and what a difference they did make. And so Jesus isn't giving any, I don't feel he's giving any wiggle room in these verses. Notice Jesus doesn't say, try to be salt, or how about you become light, you know, as time permits, work on that. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are light of the world. And so Jesus doesn't see either of these actions as behavior or optional behaviors for followers of his. Salt and light, not optional whatsoever. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything. See, salt in Jesus' time, and even today to some ways, has a valuable purpose besides adding some to our French fries. And I do like salt on my French fries. But it was used, salt, to preserve meat and to keep food from rotting. And so Jesus is saying, as my followers, this is the hard truth that you need to understand. That salt, that we are called to be this preserving presence in the world. That our world, I don't know if you've noticed this, is full of disarray, full of despair. People's lives are discouraged. There's filled with lies of fulfillment, heartbrokenness, and a lack of truth. And the point is this, is that as disciples of Jesus, we are to act as a preservative in the world as we conform to kingdom norms and as we act like, as the Beatitudes say, to be gentle, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be pure in heart, to be peacemakers. Imagine if all of us in this room acted like that. That if we saw those around us, the impact that we could have as we lived the teachings of Jesus. Our lives need to be known as people who bring joy to despair, to be speakers of truth where there is death, and to bring the flavor of Christ wherever we go. I think so often Christians are knowing what we're against. Be nice to know what we're for. Jesus ends verse 13 with a warning. It says, if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is good, no good for anything. You see, when we become, as Christians, diluted or mixed with impurities, we lose all effectiveness. The New Testament writer Paul says it so well in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If we blend in so much with the world that people can't tell we're different, we've lost our saltiness, and we've lost our witness. And so what does that look like in my life, in your life? What are areas that we're just blending in to those around us? Verses 14 to 16, Jesus moves on to the second image, and that is light. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Light does two things. It reveals what's there, and it guides others to safety. You are the light of the world. Not just your pastor, not just missionaries around the globe, but you. In your home, in your school, on your team, in the grocery store, in every dark corner, our world needs followers of Jesus walking around looking for opportunities to be a light, a person who sees a need and fills it. It's real easy to say, oh, look at all the things that are wrong with our world. Oh, somebody should do something about that. I pray that somebody is you. That when we say somebody should do something about it, we get a little bit of conviction in our hearts that maybe we are that somebody. Another way to look at this is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says this: do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. See, Jesus continues in verse 15, and he makes this statement. He's like, could you imagine somebody doing this? It's almost like he makes a statement and just doesn't think this is even a possibility. Could you imagine lighting a lamp and putting it under a basket? Like, could you imagine somebody doing that? He could not fathom this idea, yet sometimes, maybe more than sometimes, we do just that, don't we? We hide our faith out of fear, out of insecurities, or maybe just out of comfort. We dim our light to avoid standing out. But our world, Devon, doesn't need more Christians that are hidden. It needs bright, bold believers who reflect Jesus wherever they go. And so let me ask you this morning, what is covering your, like, what basket is covering your light? What can you think in your life is some of the reasons that maybe you're not shining like you should be? Is it fear of judgment? Maybe past mistakes you've made in your life? Maybe a pressure to be someone else? Maybe if I get asked a question, I don't know how to answer it, so I'm just not going to say anything. Maybe you feel unworthy. Maybe you have low confidence or you're fearful. Or maybe you experience things in your own life growing up that you think you're disqualified from God using you and you making a difference. But God says, my son and daughter, your past will not define my ability to use you. Moses was a murderer and a reluctant leader, yet God used him to deliver Israel. David was an adulterer and murderer, yet God called him a man after his own heart. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, yet he became a bold leader of the early church. Paul persecuted Christians, yet God transformed his life and he became a great missionary. Jonah ran from God. Samson gave in to lust. Thomas doubted Jesus. Rahab was a prostitute. Jacob lied and manipulated. Sarah laughed at God. Gideon was afraid and full of doubt. Elijah ran away from God and asked God to take his life, and Aaron made a golden calf in place of God. The bottom line is the Bible is full of imperfect people like us with messy stories, but God didn't discard them, and he won't discard you. He redeems you, he uses you, and he shows you, as Paul the Apostle says, his power, God's power made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. You are a light. Verse 16 closes. It says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in whom is in heaven. Here's the key to this idea of being salt and light. It isn't about drawing attention to ourselves. It's not about impressing people. William Wilberforce, William and Catherine Booth, Martin Luther King, and Raymond Reeb did what they did ultimately for one reason: to point others to God. The methods look different based on the needs that they saw around them, but the result was always a pointing back to God. When we live our lives as Jesus teaches, when we serve, when we love, when we forgive, when we stand firm, people will take notice. They'll think or ask, what is different? And our responsibility and our response is to bring glory to the Father who is in heaven. The goal of our saltiness and our brightness isn't praise for us. It's glory to God. So you are salt. You are light. It's not something, it's not a burden that we carry, but it's a gift to ourselves and definitely to those around us. Jesus has chosen you to make a difference in the world. What's around you right now where you can become salt and light in that situation? Sometimes it's not easy, but I'm a firm believer that if we ask God for opportunities, He's going to put a lot in front of us to make a difference. And it's not because we're perfect, but it's because He's working through us. The faith of a mustard seed is all we need. Mustard seed is 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. Tiny. He doesn't need much. He needs willingness and obedience. And I'm so grateful that there's places like Shiloh, places like Devon. Is it Community Church? Devon Community Church. They can be light to the areas we're in. If you're here this morning and you've heard, you know, during the worship time about what God is doing and the sacrifice that He made on behalf of us. Or maybe kids that come to Shiloh and the heartache and the challenge that they've experienced, and they met God. And you don't know Jesus in your life. So I want to give an opportunity to accept Jesus and recognize and acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, Savior of the world, that He came and He died for the forgiveness of your sins. And all who believe in Him shall have eternal life. So I'm just going to pray a prayer just to put into words that commitment. And you can just say the words in your heart. Jesus, I acknowledge You for who You are and what You did for me. You came and You died for my sins, and You rose again. I acknowledge that I need You, that I need You to walk with me. And God, I'm thankful for the sacrifice that You made on the cross so that I can receive life and have life to the full. And if you're here this morning and you know that you've walked away from some opportunities, you've either felt God calling you to go and make a difference and you've kind of said no, and maybe there's some guilt or just some little bit of tension, I just ask for a peace to come upon your life right now, and that you would know that that's not like the end of the road, but that God will give more opportunity. And so, God, I just pray for everyone here. God, that we would be aware of opportunities and conversations that can be had to glorify You. I just pray that Your Spirit would just continue to walk in and through everyone here, God, that this town would just be changed. for people that don't know you, God, that they would come and recognize who you are as Lord and Savior in their life. That this town would be recognized for a love that people have for you and for the people in this town. God, those that are far from you, God, I just pray that you would just begin to draw them. God, that your spirit would begin to speak. And God, that you would use us. You'd speak to us. You'd provide opportunities for us to engage your love for those around us. God, that we would be salt. We would be light. We would see the needs. And that we would be quick to act upon them. Give us boldness, give us confidence to do that. And God, we're just grateful for Jesus, for the sacrifice he made, and that you walk with us, your spirit is with us, and we are not alone. And so God, I just am grateful for who you are and what you're doing, and that you are not dead, but you are alive. And lives continue to be transformed and changed. In Jesus' name, amen.